We are looking this morning at Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. This is the third in the series. And even before I read the one verse we're going to look at, this sermon has given me cause to pause and to think more than any sermon in a long, long time. So I want you to stay with me this morning. I want you to not let things that would distract you. And I want us to look together. This is just very thought-provoking. Revelation 20 and verse number 12. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. Another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. I want to speak this morning on the subject, the open books at the judgment. The open books at the judgment. What does an omniscient God read? What books are on the reading list of a God who already knows everything? As John opens up and depicts the judgment scene in Revelation 20, John says, I saw the great throne. The judgment throne. And John said that around that judgment throne were both the great and the small. And John says, now watch carefully the word. John says, and that at that throne, he says that the books, plural, more than one, the books were opened. And then he says, and another book, singular, was opened. And he describes the singular book as the book of life. And he says that the dead, those who were judged, were judged according to what they had done by what was written in the books. So what does that mean? What that means is that at the judgment of God, you and I will wait as the books are open. But which books? Which books? A study of the scriptures reveal three such open books at the judgment of God. The first book that will be opened at the judgment of God is what I'm going to call the book of deeds. the book of deeds. Now, what is this? This book is our book in the hands of the Lord. What does that mean? The book of deeds, this is the book of our deeds. This is the book of our lives that is now in the hands of the Lord at the judgment of God. Now, the lives of the rich and famous are constantly being written about. Every move that they make, every word that they speak is being recorded by somebody somewhere. Every great athlete, every great military leader has had a book written about their lives. But I want us to understand that though in the eyes of the world, you and I may never qualify as the rich and famous, though you may never hold a political office, though you may never lead troops in a battle or star in a Hollywood movie, you need to understand that our lives are being the subject of a book. And in that book, your book, God is recording several things. First, in that book, which is the subject of your life, God is recording your words. Your words. Now listen to it because you can't misunderstand it. In Matthew chapter 12, beginning with verse 36, Jesus said, "But I say to you that every idle word that man shall speak, he shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." You see, little did Job in the long ago realize that his words of complaining were being recorded. In fact, Job said himself, in Job 19 and verse 23, Job exclaimed, "Oh, that my words were being recorded. Oh, that my words were being written down in a scroll. Job, your words were written down in a scroll. And your words and my words are being written in a book too. Our words of complaining, our words of bickering, our God has a record." What am I saying? I'm saying at the judgment of God, the books will be open, and one of those books is a book of deeds. It is the book of your life, which at the judgment of God, the Lord will hold open in his hand. And in that book of your life will be recorded your words. Little did Ananias and Sapphira know that the words of their big lie were being recorded. Acts, the fifth chapter, tells the story
They took a piece of property which they owned, and they went out and sold it. And they took the money and they sit down and conspired between the two of them. Now we're going to take this much money and we're going to hold it back and keep it. And then we're going to go to church and we're going to tell God and all the brethren that this is all the money that we got, and they're not going to know about this. And you can just hear them talking. Nobody's ever going to find out about this. Nobody's ever going to know about this. We're going to do this. We're going to tell this lie, and nobody is ever going to find out. But that lie was recorded in both heaven and on earth. And the words of our lies are being recorded too. And the words of our gossip and the words of our tale-bearing, all of those words are being recorded in your life and in mine in the book of deeds. Your life is the subject of a book. In that book, God is recording your words. But not only is He recording your words, in that book, God is recording your deeds, your actions. You can't misunderstand this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, you can't misunderstand this. We must all appear before the judgment of Christ and receive an account of the things that we've done in our body, whether those things were good or bad. Little did Judas Iscariot know that his evil deed of betrayal was being recorded. Little did Judas know that those 30 pieces of silver would live in infamy with his name hung on those things. And likewise, our actions are being recorded in a book. Brethren, our every moment, our every movement, and our every motive, God Almighty is aware of. You go to a mall today, you pull into the parking lot and park, and before you get out of your car, you're on surveillance. You walk into the store, they know exactly what time you went in there. You walk over to the shoes, you tried on that pair, you looked at that pair but didn't try them on. You walked away from the shoes and went over to the clothes. You looked through that rack and that rack, but not that rack. On the way out of the mall, you ran into a mother and a little girl. You spoke to the mother and patted the little girl on the head. You went out and got into your car. And when you went out and got into your car and drove away, they know all of it. They know what time you pulled up. They know what time you went in. They know what time you put them shoes on. They know what time you looked through that rack. They know what time you bumped into that mother. They know what time you got in that car. And they know what time you left that. Why? Because all of it's being recorded. And in likewise, God is recording. God is writing your life down in a book. Every word you've spoken and every deed that you've done is recorded. Now listen, in light of this book of deeds, what should we do? In light of this book of deeds, in light of the fact that your life and my life is a subject of a book that the Lord will hold open in His hand at the judgment of God, what should we do?
Well, the first thing that all of us better do is we better take care of the sins of yesterday. Listen, you cannot go back and rewrite yesterday's page. But thank God, God allows us to apply the blood of Jesus to yesterday's sin. Now, Christian, listen to me. All of us understand that God has a plan of salvation for those who are not Christians. But you need to understand that God also has a plan for lost Christians. The tendency among brethren, among us, is to become unfaithful. And then come back and just kind of slide in and act like it's all right. But that's not God's plan of salvation for lost Christians. In the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, Philip the evangelist goes down into the city of Samaria and preaches Christ, verse 5. In verse 12 of Acts 8, it says that the people of Samaria heard the word, believed, and were baptized. In the next verse, verse 13 of Acts 8, specifies that a man named Simon, a man who had tricked the people, an unscrupulous individual, that he heard the message, that he also believed, and was baptized. But then he lived his life in such a way as to fall from the grace of God. He, in fact, tried to bribe the apostles to receive the power that they had. And Peter tells him in verse 20 of Acts 8, he says, "Your money perishes with you." And then in verse 22, Peter told that lost Christian, "You need to repent. And you need to pray that the Lord will forgive you of the evilness in your heart." In light of this book of deeds, in light of the fact that our subject is being recorded in a book, what should we do? Number one, we should take care of the sins of yesterday. And the second thing we need to do is that we ought to be motivated to live holy lives. You see, brethren, every day you live, God adds another page to your book. Every day you live, God adds another page to your book. In the book of 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter talks about the coming of the Lord and the day of judgment. And he says that at verse 10, he says the earth and all the elements are going to be burned up. Then in 2 Peter 3 and verse 11, Peter says, "Now in light that these things are going to happen," he says, "how should we live with all holiness?" Your life and my life is the subject of a book that will be laid bare at the day of judgment. Our words and our deeds will be brought to light. Paul said in Romans 2 and in verse 16 that on that day God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ through the gospel.
At the judgment of God, the books will be open. The first book is the book of deeds. It is the book of the story of your life and of mine. Number two. The second book that will be opened at the judgment of God is the book of Scripture. The book of Scripture. Now, you with me? Stay with me. The book of deeds is our book, the book of our lives, in the hands of the Lord. But the book of Scripture, this is God's book in our hands. What am I saying? I'm saying that at the judgment of God, this book that I hold in my hands will be opened. Now here's something you need to understand. The day of judgment is not going to be a pop quiz. Now, when I went to school, Ben Franklin taught science, this thing with a kite that he was caught up on. When I went to school, they had what was called a pop quiz. Now, a pop quiz was an unannounced test. The teacher would walk in and say, all right, clear your desk of everything but a pencil and a piece of paper. Booyah, we're having a test. So why do they do that? Well, they do that in order to gauge where the student is in his or her knowledge of what they're trying to teach. The reason that they give these unannounced tests, they're mean people. I mean, why else would you do that to a kid? But anyway, listen. What students want is we prefer to know in advance when the test is coming. I mean, we want the teacher to walk in Monday and say, okay, Friday we're having a test, or a week from Friday we're having a test. Now, why do we want this information in advance? The reason we want this information in advance is because we can prepare for it. The reason we want to know in advance is so that we can get ourselves ready so we can pass the test. Brethren, the day of judgment is not a pop quiz unannounced. God has already given us the answers. This book that I hold in my hands has all the answers you need to pass the final at the day of judgment. Jesus said, "The words that I have spoken, the same will judge him in the last day." John 12:48. You have the answers. You know what the questions are. Here's the test. Get ready. You understand that each man and each woman on the day of judgment will be judged according to the law of God that they lived under. The ancient Gentiles will be judged by the law of their conscience. The ancient Gentiles did not have a written law, but Paul said they did have a conscience, and that conscience will serve as their law. Romans 2, verses 12 through 15. The ancient Jew will be judged by the law of Moses because that's the law they lived under. Romans 2 and verse 12. We as Christians, you and I as Christians, we will be judged by the law of Christ. That's the law we live under, Romans 2 and verse 16. And let me say to you that this book will read on that day exactly the same as this book reads today. And as we stand before the Lord at the judgment of God, God will open the first book, the book of our deeds, the book of our lives, and He will see. God will then open that second book, the book of His Word, and the Lord will say, "Now look, this book here says to repent, that is, change your life and be immersed for the remission of your sins," Acts 2:38. And if God looks into the book of your life and you haven't done it, you'll stand condemned. God will look into the book of Scripture. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 2, where Paul says that each one upon the first day of the week should lay by in store, should give. God will look into the book of your deeds, the book that is the subject of your life, and God will say, "Look, you didn't give as you were prospered. You gave me what was left over. You gave me what you had after you did what you wanted to do." And then you stand condemned. At the judgment of God, we will wait while the books are open. The book of deeds, the book that is the subject of your life, where your words and your actions have been kept record. The book of Scripture, where this book, the book of Scripture, will be compared to the book of your deeds, and the comparison will be made. Number three, the third book that will be open is the book of names. Now, the book of deeds is our book in the hands of the Lord. The book of Scripture is the Lord's book in our hands. But the book of names is God's book in the Lord's hands. Now, what is the book of names? The book of names is also referred to in the Bible as the book of life. There are two very important scriptures regarding the book of life. The first is in Revelation chapter 3 and in verse 5, where Jesus addresses the church at Sardis. And Jesus talks about those who are Christians, those who are saved and who died as Christians. Jesus says that those who have overcome, they've died as Christians. Jesus says that their names will not be blotted out of the book of life. The second important scripture is Revelation 20:15. Where John says that those people whose names were not found written in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire. So what is the book? What is this book of names? What is this book of life? The book of life is simply God's book of the roll call of the redeemed. You see, brethren,
Every time that somebody obeys the gospel, God adds their name to the book of life. You hear me? But beware, beware, because God's pencil has both a point and an eraser on it. And the Lord will erase. That is, the Lord will blot out those names of Christians who go back out into the world. In 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse 20, Peter says, "For if we escape the corruption of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ," and he says, "if we are again entangled in it and overcome," Peter says the latter end will be worse than the beginning. Peter says it would be better if you had never known the way of truth than to know it and then turn from the holy commandments. The most important thing that you can do is to make sure your name is in the book of life. Now, I will remind you this morning that your name is already recorded in a number of places. Your name is recorded on your birth certificate somewhere. Your name and your Social Security number are recorded in Washington, D.C. Your name and your driver's license number is recorded at the motor vehicle. But the most important place that your name needs to be recorded is your name needs to be recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. When those men were sent out on the limited commission, they came back in Luke 10. They were so excited that they had the ability to do things. And when they came back, Jesus said to them in verse 20 of Luke 10, Jesus says, "Don't rejoice because the demons were subject to you, but rather rejoice that your name is written in the book of life." So that bears this question. How does one get his name or her name in the book of life? Brethren, it begins with faith. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6. The reason that faith is so important is because faith is what changes our hearts. Faith is what changes our hearts. Then you must repent. Jesus said, "You either repent or perish." The reason that repentance is important is because repentance is what changes our lifestyle. Faith changes my heart. Repentance changes my life. Then we must confess. Matthew 10:32-33. And then we must be baptized for the remission of sin. Now, why is baptism important? Baptism is important because baptism is what changes my relationship to the Lord. I go from being out of Christ to being in Christ. So faith is important because faith changes my heart. Repentance is important because repentance changes my lifestyle. Baptism is important because baptism changes my relationship with the Lord. And listen to me, the only thing that will matter is if your name gets written in that book of life.
And I say to you this morning, without exaggeration, that there are many, many people who are never going to realize they are lost until those books are open. And when those books are open at that last great meeting, the most important thing and the only thing that will matter is your soul. What would it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? At the judgment of God, John says the books will be open. The book that is the subject of your life and mine, where both our words and our deeds are recorded, will be open to mankind. The book of Scripture will be open. And our book, the book of our lives, will be compared to God's book. And on that day, the book of life will be open. The thought of having your name written in heaven is a wonderful, wonderful thought. But the thought of your name not being written in the book of life is a horrifying and horrendous thought. Brethren, this is real. This is real. And we get caught up in our society and our day-to-day lives, and we give this no thought. And we think we can live any way we want to live, and we can thumb our nose at God, and we can do all of this, but let us remember, God is out there waiting. And God will have the final say. I saw that great throne. And before that throne were all the great and all the small. And the books were opened. And another book was opened. And they were judged, every person, according to what they did by what was written in the book. This morning, if you're not a Christian, you need to flee to have your name written in the book of life. Submitting yourself to Christ and being baptized for the remission of your sins. If you're an erring Christian, you need to do what Peter says. You need to repent and you need to pray or you will perish. This is it. This is it. This life is about preparing for what is to come. May God give you the strength and may God give you the grace to do that. And to do it right now, as together we stand and as we sing.